Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. There is no greater trauma a parent can experience than the loss of a child. But for a variety of reasons, a father's grief often fades into the background when his child dies. Patrick O'Hearn and his wife have lost two young children to miscarriage. He has joined other grieving dads to create a resource for anyone experiencing this deepest of pains. Patrick joins us, and we're talking about his book, The Grief of Dads. Patrick is the co-author of The Grief of Dads, Support and Hope for Catholic Fathers Navigating Child Loss. His other books include Infant Loss in the Love of the Saints and Courtship of the Saints, How the Saints Met Their Spouses. Patrick, really glad to have you on the program.
It's a joy to be here. Thanks for having me.
The joy is all ours. And I want to begin by saying that this book was a difficult read. I can only imagine it was a difficult task to write.
It was. You know, I called upon so many saints to help me write this book because it brings back so many memories that often when you lose a child, often that healing comes from looking forward, but at the same time, it can be, bring healing too, just recalling, just even the blessing, even that I never got to hold my children because my wife miscarried them. But I think, we wanted to write a book that just can speak to so many men's hearts that are, they're forgotten. So definitely it was a painful book. But I think, all the suffering, I pray that it bears fruit and can really help some father that's going through one of the most darkest times of his life.
Yeah. Patrick, I just want to start right off the bat by sharing with you that my bride and I relate with you and your bride. We lost two children as well, in virtually the exact same way that you and your bride lost your children. And I was passed on the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe and Our Lady of Sorrows. And those were feast days that were very important to us, just like your children's passing on those days were very important to you and your bride.
Yeah. I am sorry for your losses. I know it's just you never want to see anyone lose a child. And even, I think even the culture we live in, even a miscarriage, I see this even in the Catholic Church, it's almost like it's not totally pro-life because, when someone has an abortion, we're like all over it. But when someone has a miscarriage, it's like there's no support for them. So again, I'm sorry for your loss. And I pray that somehow, this book can speak to that the sacredness of every life.
It did. And in particular, what you wrote about male grief and about what the father goes through and how you pointed out very, very, matter-of-factly, very pointedly, that most men feel more marginalized and less acknowledged than women following loss. I think it's just one of those societal things. When a couple loses a child, for some reason, everyone bands around the mother, and to a large degree, rightfully so. But that father lost their child too, and no one wanted to have that conversation, and it frankly baffled me.
It did, even in my workplace. People would come up to me, how's your wife doing? And after the first miscarriage, I didn't even tell people about the second one because it's, the first one I got, didn't really even get a reaction. I guess I was just hoping for some consolation. And just recently, and just I kind of discovered that even, I'm not trying to bash Catholic companies, but just in general, though, you see very little even days off for men, when their wife has a miscarriage. It's like they're back, I went back to work right after I got the phone call from my wife, and I had to go back into work, but it would have been nice to have like one or two days off just to spend time, with your wife and to grieve this child. And I think that we can do better as a Catholic Church and, even our Catholic organizations, because a lot of these secular companies that have these, woke agendas, they're offering miscarriage support, right. giving bereavement days for a miscarriage. So I think as men and, again, in our church, I think this is one step, hopefully this book will show the world that, no miscarriage is, you can't like quantify a life, a child dying, we compare that. Sometimes I felt like, well, maybe my child's death in a miscarriage is not as important as someone that lost an adult child, but it's a life. And I have that right to grieve, and I ought to grieve the loss of that child.
Yeah. I mean, again, I relate with you. I think I think somehow us men, particularly as we move into marriage, we are ingrained with this societal expectation of being able to tough it out, as if the loss of our child wouldn't in any way emotionally affect us. And so the expectation is you have to be a pillar for your bride. In fact, so many people told me that you have to be strong for her. And, you know, I'd listen to that in silence. I obviously didn't go off on those people, but I was breaking inside. And I certainly didn't handle that well. It would take months before I was able to function emotionally with some level of equilibrium. And but it's one of those areas where I guess we as a church, this is where the rubber meets the road. If we call ourselves pro-life, this is one of those areas we need to get better at.
Definitely. You know, and I look back and I regret that even in front of my wife, you know, I didn't shed tears that often in front of her. As often I was driving home from work and I'd be in the car and just, you know, they would come down, and I felt like she wanted that. Like, but at the same time, as then I felt like I'd embrace this role. I have to be the strong one. But really, at the end of the day, you know, she wanted to see those tears. And I think that we often think as men, like, tears are a sign of weakness, but they're not, you know. And for our wife to know, like, she's not alone. She's grieving with us. And I think, too, you know, we have these expectations, too, that maybe our priest will get it or people around us. And, you know, most priests have never lost a child. So I think we have to show mercy to them. But at the same time, you know, hopefully this book is like a resource that, you know, that someone would give to a priest to hand out to their parishioners, or just even for him to understand, wow, like, I didn't realize that, you know, I had a priest tell me it's time to move on. And this was after a couple months of our miscarriage. I'm like, I don't think I'll ever move on. And that's the beauty of, we had Dr. Sumpter, I don't know if he's a doctor, he's a clinician, but he wrote a beautiful letter in the back of the book. And he just said, you know, grief isn't something to be fixed. And I think that really spoke to me, because you're not going to fix it. And as men, we want to fix things. But if we can, you know, obviously heal and work through it, but, you know, those memories of our children, whether they're in the womb that died or they're adult, they're always going to come back at certain points. And for us to be able to, you know, to handle and work through that grief in a way that leads us to God and not to despair and anger, I think that's one of the keys.
Yeah. As I read this, you quoted, in your own story, you quoted different ways, you paraphrased C.S. Lewis's A Grief Observed. Different people, including Brian and Ryan, they quote Lewis's A Grief Observed in different ways. So, and it's a book that's near and dear to my heart as well, and especially when we lost our two. And one of the things that I noticed there was a common thread of in your book is Lewis talks about how it's not so much that he was afraid that he would stop believing in God. In fact, the greater danger was, oh, so this is what God is really like. Don't be deceived anymore. He puts you through this much pain. And he was afraid that his image of God the Father would become this. And I mean, in that pain of losing a child, I stand by this. I've been through quite a lot of pain in my own life, but I share this with my friends. Nothing compares to the pain of having lost our first two. Easily the most painful thing ever. And your faith really does take a challenge there. You undergo a real trial of faith.
You do. You know, I had it's kind of a moment of, you know, grace that came to me, but, you know, my favorite movie, one of favorite movies is, you know, The Passion of the Christ. You know, at the end of the movie, we see a teardrop, and I'm assuming, you know, I don't know what Mel Gibson's intentions were, but I think it was like God the Father shedding the tear over his beloved son. And I think about that too, and like, it made me enter into the Father's love for Jesus and then Jesus's love for the Father. But I mean, there is nothing, like you said, like, I mean, if God hadn't blessed us, we had one living child and then we had the two miscarriages, but I can see why, you know, divorce is so common. You know, they say, I think it's anywhere from 60 to 80% of people that lose a child, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. they end up, you know, they have a divorce, and it's, you know, it takes a toll on you. Like, not only, even with people that have faith, but like your body, you know, physically you're affected with, you know, post-traumatic stress. So it is the greatest cross. Hands down, losing a child than any, and you know, because it's really, we always think of the opposite. It should be our children that are standing at our deathbed, and not the opposite. So It's just something that really does, it puts you to the test, and it's, you know, it's one of the greatest trials that we can, and hopefully it is a trial that I believe that can make us into saints if we, you know, if we cooperate with God's grace.
Right. And just like you mentioned, handling this grief without the grace of God is an insurmountable task, because like you said, grief isn't something to be fixed, but it's a reality. It's something your soul goes through, the interiority of your being goes through it. And I remember those days, they were our first and second, we lost them, and we didn't have the comfort of a child to hold yet. And my bride and I leaned on each, and we had tried very hard to conceive as well. We had issues, as we've come to discover, a lot of couples have different issues conceiving. So when we finally did, we celebrated, and then we lost them, and we just leaned on God and each other even more, because we knew that if we didn't, this was precisely the kind of thing that might break us.
It is, you know, there's a story in here with, you know, Joseph Pierce, the great Catholic writer, and I met him at EWGN, and I was sharing with him, you know, this book that I was working on, and he confided in me. He's like, you know, Patrick, I lost our second child, and it was from their daughter. They had a stillbirth 4 weeks before her due date, and so he puts his story in this book, and it's one of the most powerful ones. But he said, at that moment, he felt as if he was being lifted up on the cross. And when he was holding his daughter, his stillbirth daughter, and he said, it was the first and only time in my life that I felt that I was actually crucified with Jesus. All the other times I felt that I was crucifying him, but at that moment I was with Jesus on the cross. And I really think that that's kind of an experience I felt, that even though it was the darkest moment, it was also the moment where I felt like most closely conformed to Christ crucified.
And that's truly powerful. I remember in desperation trying to quote, my background is Pentecostalism before I became Catholic, and I was exposed to this movie called Fireproof, which by all accounts might not be the best written or acted movie, but there was this song there that for some reason when we lost out too, I kept singing that song as a way of coping. And we can talk about this on the other side of the break. My guest, Patrick O'Hearn, co-author of The Grief of Dads, Support and Hope for Catholic Fathers Navigating Child Loss. Stay tuned as we continue this heartwarming conversation. I'm Marcus Peter for Cresta in the Afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. My guest, Patrick O'Hearn, he is the co-author of The Grief of Dads, Support and Hope for Catholic Fathers Navigating Child Loss. His other books include Infant Loss and the Love of the Saints and Courtship of the Saints, How the Saints Met Their Spouses. So Patrick, we were talking earlier, and we all cope with grief in different ways, and you even note in your chapter in the book that men cope with grief in different ways. And just very briefly, I know this sounds silly, but because my earliest experience of Jesus Christ came from my Assemblies of God background, my Pentecostal background, when all this happened, it happened during COVID for us, and so we were shut down. And we were just indoors, and I remember just going back to one of those early songs that I had learned. There were two songs. It was Casting Crowns, Praise You in the Storm, and While I'm Waiting. I forget who the author is of that song, the singer is of that song. And I remember singing those things just to get through each day until I was finally able to humanly function. But you also highlight how men cope with grief differently than women do. And that's something that's often taken for granted and not highlighted in society and in the church.
It is. You know, there's a beautiful line by Kelly Breaux, you know, and they're in charge of, they help write this book as well. They're in charge of Redbird Ministries, which is probably the only grief support that's in the United States for Catholic diocese. So Redbird, and Kelly said something so profound, and you know, they offer retreats for any husbands and wives that have lost children. But she said something about this. It took her to realize that men often retreat into the workshop like Saint Joseph, while women ponder you know, like Mary in their heart. And I think mm-hmm. it's such a, you know, a beautiful illustration, which is so true. You know, we want to go and, you know, fix it or do these hobbies while right. women are, you know, these emotional, but some of the other common differences in the grief are that men generally grieve less intensely and less enduringly. We tend to cry less and talk less about the event. And we report, you know, less anxiety and depression immediately following the loss of the child. And we also, again, as we talked about earlier, men tend to feel more marginalized and less acknowledged about the loss. And so those are some of the few critical differences between the way men and women grieve.
Yeah. Right. And one of the things you highlight about that is because of this need and this innate drive to go and fix the thing. I remember doing that as well. I worked on my guitar. I took up a project and worked on my guitar just to take my mind off of it. So between work and that. But you also highlight how one of those things that can damage the marriage is the feeling that you could have prevented that great loss. And if you don't check that, if you don't acknowledge that and be very honest with yourself that you were powerless in the face of it, it could severely damage you and the relationship you have with your spouse.
Yeah, definitely. You know, regret is, you know, a big thing. Even, in our miscarriages, we found out, you know, our house had toxic mold, the worst kind of toxic mold. So we discovered that after we got out of the house. But it made me realize, it's like, man, like, you know, what if I would have caught that leak earlier? Or, you know, just things that you wish, what if we would never have bought that house? I mean, there's just so many things that go through your mind. And then it's like, okay, Lord, like you allowed this to happen. And there's this element of surrender. And, you know, we have this beautiful story. And that's why I want to have all different stories, from miscarriage to adults. Like, there's one with a father whose daughter died of suicide. And mm-hmm. You know, today being the feast of St. Dimphna with mental illness, Deacon Schoner is his name, and he wrote this obituary about, you know, you are not your, you know, my daughter isn't her bipolar. You know, we put these labels on people, but through all of these stories, you know, there's this element that I see in all these men, whether it's a miscarriage or even adult, but it just comes down to, like, just saying, you know, again, this element of surrender and trying to recall even the joyful times that you had, you know, if you were so blessed to even hold your child, just to hold on to those memories.
Right.
And so I think that's important.
That truly is. And in fact, I remember exactly where that was in the book. And I recall him talking about how even the work of writing Katie's obituary and the obituary that was put out had an evangelistic effect on the people involved and the people who eventually read it. That there was so much more to her life than just the sadness of the mental illness that gripped her and the loss of her life that Deacon Ed and his bride had to go through.
It is, you know, that's what I feel like, you know, going back to Saint Edith Stein, you know, when she lost her husband, different topic, but not far, she didn't lose her husband. A lady, one of her good friends lost her husband, and Edith Stein was approaching her and just saw that joy from her. And that led Edith Stein to come into the Catholic faith, because she saw how this woman had handled, you know, the death for a spouse. And I think the same way with us, you know, with our children. It's not, you know, obviously we're not going to be smiling the next day, but there comes this element where over time we realize that, you know, death does not have the final word.
Right.
And we believe, you know, Christ conquered sin and death, and that we will, you know, we look forward to the resurrection, where we will see God willing be reunited with our children again. And that's why I think the story with Deacon, you know, having that faith that he knew, like, you know, his daughter, that he would see her again. You know, he had that hope, even in the midst of the most terrible tragedy, suicide, that, you know, that child could, you know, there was a joy, a silver lining through that all.
Right. And just going one and two chapters before that, you think about Kevin LeBlanc's chapter and Ryan's chapter on the loss of their children. That theme of having this hope in an afterlife, having this hope in an eternal beatific life in God, kept us going. That this hope of a baptism, the grace of a baptism of desire, despite the fact that for those of us who lost our children in the womb, they could not have received sacramental baptism, just this hope of the fact that God is our covenantal Father who loves us and therefore we can hold out for that hope that if we enter into the beatific vision, we not only will experience reunification with those children, but that they are experiencing a kind of blessed afterlife. And that there's a kind of comfort there. There's a kind of consolation there that it's uniquely Christian that you don't find anywhere else.
It is, you know, I'm working on, I have this other book coming out in August with Sophia Press called Nursery of Heaven, and it focuses on, you know, it's for both men and women, infant loss, miscarriage and stillbirth, you know, just more of those three areas. But one of the stories that I have in there, this lady, she saw her child, her miscarried baby, after Holy Communion, she received our Lord, and she saw her baby in heaven next to Mary, and that child had grown up. And again, there's a couple other stories in that book, too, with Mary appearing, holding the child. And so I really think, you know, in these times, it's like we have to believe that, like, Our Lady, you know, that she is, like, she wants our children, you know, she wants them to be with Jesus, and that, you know, that they're safe in her arms. And I think that gives us, again, that longing to be reunited with our children in heaven.
Right. And between that hope and longing of reunification and the hope of eternal happiness, there's also this wonderful reality that inasmuch as they were our biological children on this earth, they are infinitely more God's covenantal children. And He loves them and wants them infinitely in an infinitely elevated manner than you or I could possibly love them. And that's tough to comprehend when you're going through the grief of losing them.
It is, you know, and I think that's the reason why, you know, I mentioned in my story with, you know, Pope John Paul II, you know, he commissioned this theological commission, and Pope Benedict was at the head of it. And that came out in 2007. And he said, you know, Pope Benedict said, you know, there are theological and liturgical reasons to hope that infants who die without baptism may be saved and brought into eternal happiness. And I think, again, those are little things that we need in our, because, you know, obviously the devil wants to put lies in our head, like, you know, that this child was just, you know, a little glump of tissue, wasn't much. But hey, God is like, no, I created this child, had meaning, it had life. And I think the testimony of that is, you just look at the post-traumatic stress. I mean, I went through it in several of the other authors, you know, especially after a miscarriage, you know, you wonder, that next child, is he going to make it? And you just, you know, Brian, the author, every ultrasound he would go to, it would cause him anxiety, just because, you know, his wife had three miscarriages. And so I think, again, just that, you know, we realize that, you know, this, you know, the way that you're suffering physically, it just shows you, like, in a sense, this grief, you know, it shows you how much you love that child. And so I think that those elements are definitely present, to speak to the sanctity of life when you realize, again, just the amount of grief you're going through.
Yeah. Right now, even as I'm talking to you, my bride and I could be expecting our fifth child, really, but our third to be born any day now, frankly. And the fear of it really doesn't go away. You pray and hope for a real safety and assurance of the life of the baby, the life of the mom, and you completely surrender to the providential love of the Father, admitting that half the time I really don't understand why certain things happen and why we never got to hold our first two, but we know that they are truly our children, and God had a purpose and a plan for that.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, in the book too, you know, it's important to name that child, you know, especially if it's a miscarriage, you know, it takes on life. And one thing that really struck me, you know, because I wrote about the different saints that went through child loss, and Saint Joseph, you know, I came across Venerable Maria of Agreda's writings, and she said that Saint Joseph nearly lost his life, you know, when Jesus was lost in the temple. Like, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, and Mary basically was feeding him and saying, you know, stay alive. And I think that shows you, you know, sometimes we think, oh, the saints are so strong that they could handle anything, they can trust. But after I read that account of St. Joseph, I realized, wow, like, this guy, you know, he understood, you know, just, and he would have blamed himself, you know, had Jesus to hide, right? I mean, we wouldn't have, but just, yeah, like, he felt like responsible. And I think, again, it just shows us that it's so important to grieve for our children and to not feel ashamed when we're, you know, when we're going through all these emotions, but to bring them to the Lord, you know, especially in the Eucharist, and say, Lord, you know, like, here, I'm suffering, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling, you know, I'm angry, and to help me. And I think, you know, the saint, Saint Joseph, and especially our Lord and our Lady, you know, they want to give us that trust and that peace.
Right. So, Patrick, we're down to just about a minute in the segment, and do you have an exhortation for families? Because undoubtedly, innumerable people listening in right now have undergone the loss and pain of having had children pass. Just a word of exhortation to find comfort in Christ and the Church.
I just want to say how much our Lord loves you, you know, loves you and your baby, and that you may not feel His presence, but He's holding you. He's drawing you to the cross, and at the same time, Our Lady she waits with your son or daughter in heaven, and so I think that peace just through Christ and Our Lady, just to have hope that you're not alone, you know, and that men like myself and you, Marcus, like, that we suffer with you as well.
Yeah, and we're praying for all of you. Thank you so much for joining us, Patrick. My guest, Patrick O'Hearn, co-author of The Grief of Dads, Support and Hope for Catholic Fathers Navigating Child Loss. I humbly encourage you to get a copy of this book, read it, and share it with your friends who have experienced similar loss. Stay tuned as we round off this hour. For Cresta in the Afternoon, I'm Marcus Peter.